Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we have been discussing the wonderful statement of Hazrat Ka'b bin Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says about the Isha Salah that if you and your nation and these statements are attributed to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, that if you pray the four of Isha, then the reward for them is the universe full of wealth, which is better than any sovereignty. Now the wealthy person has to be defined. Just like when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one hadith stated about who is a good wrestler. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, contrary to what goes in our mind, that we think a good wrestler is one who floors someone down in a wrestling match, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he is a good wrestler. The one is a good wrestler who controls the anger at the time of anger. That means who floors down the anger, who puts down the anger, who suppresses the anger, who is able to discipline the anger. Similarly, about wealth, there is a meaning of hadith. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wealth, the wealthy one is not the one who distributes and is generous as far as the cash is concerned, but the wealthy one is the wealth of the heart. And when the wealth is in the heart, and when the heart is wealthy, then obviously hospitality and generosity, affectionateness will flow naturally. But if that heart is closed, and if that heart is tight, and if that heart is not peaceful and in a state of tranquility, and if that heart is constricted and restricted and narrow, and if that heart is compressed, and if that heart is in that nature, it'll be miserly, it'll be stingy, and it will not allow the hand to give out the money. It all goes down to the heart and iman. And if a person has got full iman, that the more I give, the more I get, that person will not hesitate to give. And that person will be classified wealthy. And that person who gives in his own lifetime, and you see that people record to us that a person says, I gave in the morning, and after Zohar, I got double. And historically, we can narrate incidents written in Tazkiratul Awliya about how the pious servants of Allah gave, and when they got less than 10 back, they said, this cannot be the return from Allah, because Allah has promised minimum 10 back for every one given. That was their level of iman. But our time, you can see that a person gives, the more he gets. It is written in a tafsir, Aliyah, that it is admonished there, O my servant, for every ruku, there will be a reward of a palace in Jannah. And for every sijda, a glimpse of the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you should keep increasing salah. And if the salah is the best, its neglect is evil and bad act. On one side, we have got the reward and the virtues, the boons and favors for performing the salah. The ruku will grant us palace in paradise. And the sijda will grant us the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith it comes, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that a person in the position of sijda is like in the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And can you imagine that in the lap of divine court, a person enjoys the sijda. A person should make salah and enjoy the salah. But if a person is not focused in the salah, a person will not enjoy the salah. So everything, and make the mindset I am going for the Salah. I am going to perform the Salah. Why don't I perform the Salah? How the Salah is supposed to be performed? I am going to spend half an hour from the time I leave my house and return. Then why don't I perform the Salah? And before that, why don't I perform the wuzu properly, carefully, fulfilling all the conditions for a proper wuzu to be valid and rewardable? Similarly, I am going to perform the 4 rakats. Why don't I do it nicely? At least the postures, the recitation. Once we get the postures and the recitation proper and in order, every other thing will fall in place. For example, now, sijda, we will get the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here there is academic discussion. Academic discussion that what is the best reward in Jannah? Is it Jannah itself? Or is it the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it the mere fact that one knows that Allah is happy with me? The pleasure of Allah. Scholars have discussed this. Yeah, before I put my humble view forward, we should understand something. Now, discussions like this, that we should not split hay over and not rule hard against any other person. Because all sides have got their proofs. And it is not a thing of imaniyat. It is not a thing of essentialities of deen. It is not a thing that if you reject it, then you will leave the fold of Islam. Or if you accept it, then you will be the person on the absolute truth. We say, for example, even this statement, a person making ruku, he get a palace in paradise. For example, a person when he looks at his father or mother with the eye of loving, meaning he looks with the eye of happiness when he sees his father or mother, he's happy. Then that person is rewarded with umrah. By just a look, and the person who looks at the Kaaba, he is rewarded. So you will see the action being rewarded by something. But there is no specific action to get the reward of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if you love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that when we follow the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are going to get the love of Allah. And the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how sahaba ikram earned it by obedience, sheer obedience to everything which Allah Azza wa Jal told them to do. On the other hand, that if a person does not perform salah, then that is an evil act, that is a bad act. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, we love him, we honor him, and he is the saint in his era and his time, that he was the head of the saints. And he was a righteous and pious person. And every individual, we should make an effort to read his works, especially the Hunya. And now it has been translated by Mukhtar Holland and also by Killer Parts. Now we should read his works. And there you will find how firm they are. On one side we say that we love the saint, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, but do we know what he said about salah? That the person who does not make the salah, you should lock him up. And tell him, for example, if a person did not make Zuhr salah, you lock him up. And wait until Asr. If he does not perform the Asr, Zohar Qaza, by the time Asr has set, at least the Zohar by the time the Asr has set, then you execute him. You execute that person. You do not give him kafan, dafan. You do not make salah janaza for him. You let his body down and dig a hole, and with a pole, don't even touch his body, push it into that hole. That is his ruling. And it is not just like that. Based upon the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the difference between iman and kufr is salat. That the hadith that salat is like the head of the body. That just like the body cannot exist without the head, a person cannot exist without salah. So we should be very careful about salah and know that the saint of saints, the Pirane Pir of that time, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, on one side we want to follow and claim that we love him, but see what he's saying about salah. So if you want, follow him there too. In Bukhari it is narrated, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, after Fajr salah, that during the night two angels had come to him and taken him away. On the way he saw a person lying on the ground, and another had a stone in his hand, which he struck at the head of the other with such force that it split the head into smithereens. When the person went to retrieve the missile, the head was miraculously reconstructed. This was repeated a second time. I asked the angels about this and was told that he was a transgressing person who used to neglect his Faraz Salah by sleeping away. Can you imagine the punishment of non-performance of Salah, the punishment for discarding Fajr Salah, the azab, what a severe azab. And unfortunately, young, old, male, female, and in good homes, we have lost the spirit and the desire to make salah. And we, unfortunately, in so many homes that no salat is performed. In one day, no one is making no salat. Male, female, young, old, no salat is taking place. And look at the severity of the punishment. The head is being smashed. And why the head? Because in the head lies the brain, and the brain is sleeping, therefore it has to be punished. But this shows, we claim that we are good people. And we say, oh, no importance is given to salah, unfortunately. And there are so many people around us only performing Eid Salat, Eid to Eid. And there is another group that only performs Jummah to Jummah. Still there is another group that only goes for Janaza Salat. You see them only performing Janaza Salat. Then there is another group that only performs few Salat a day. And then the group that performs all Salat a day. And look around. At least if you are listening, tell the people to perform Jummah Salat, so that the person at least would come on to Jummah, and then encourage the person to make daily salat. Otherwise, the azab of Allah comes, the displeasure of Allah comes, the wrath of Allah comes, because we have to, for our own islah, spiritual upliftment. Certain people think that I'll just perform Faraz Salat and that is all. And they will say, no, I'm performing Faraz Salat. This is obligation, I must just fulfill my obligation. And on the other hand, he will say, but I cannot concentrate on my salah. The reason is that we have regarded, unfortunately, salat as a burden and not as a pleasure. And when we change our attitude and regard salat performance is something that we are going to enjoy and we would like to do it, then you will never miss the salat. It is stated in Ruh al-Bayan, it is related that Hazrat Danyal alayhi salam used to praise the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would praise such a salat that if Nuh alayhi salam and his people had performed it, they could not have been perished in the flood. So can you imagine that previous Anbiya alayhi salam praising Ummat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salah performance to such an extent that if Nuh alayhi salam and his people had performed the salah, then they should not have been punished. And if the people of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam and his people performed such a salah, the punishment of a hurricane would not have afflicted them. And if the nation of Samud, that means the people of Saleh alayhi salam, if they performed such a salah, then the punishment of earthquake could not have buried them and caused them so much of sorrow. So our salah will bring firstly the pleasure of Allah, forgiveness, mercy, blessing, and the azab of Allah will go away. But unfortunately, we have become lackadaisical, lazy, lethargic, neglectful of salah, because the value of the world has reached our head and heart and mind and blood, but the value of salah has come nowhere near our head and heart, brain. Now the question arises, why 17 rak'ah are farz in 5 salah? If we have to calculate and add up the 2 farz, the 4 zuhr, the 4 asr, and then the 3 maghrib and 4 isha, that would give us 17. But why is 17? It is stated that obviously the farz salah was given to us as a gift during the night of Mi'raj. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he traversed through 7 firmaments on this night and saw 8 stages of Jannah. This adds up to 15. And when we join the Arsh and the Kursi, that equals to 17 stops or stages. So in his bodily, physical journey, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went through 17 stages, 17 strata. And that is why we perform 17 farz salah. It is stated that in Abu Dawud, it is related that one day Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the gathering with his companions. When a person came and performed salat, when a Bedouin came and he performed salah, and he performed salah in a very fast mode, very quickly, and then he came and sat in the gathering of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Kum fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli," that stand up and go and perform salah. It is as if to say you have not performed salah. Now, the Bedouin, he got up again and went and performed salah again, quickly, and came back to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gathering. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him again, that stand, go and perform salah again. It is as if to say you have not performed salah. Now the question arises here, first of all, that why the Bedouin, he was going and making his salah very quickly. We must understand something about Sharia, that any event, any incident concerning Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, we must make good interpretations of it. If we cannot make good interpretations of it, then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, keep quiet about it then. And in most cases, the ulama, servers to Islam, the great mujtahideen, the imams of jurisprudence and ahadith, they have made such wonderful interpretations that maintain the high status of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And if you want to see any person and find a sign of deviatedness, then you'll find that person speaking ill of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. That is why for the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah, our Aqeedah is that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most superior and he is the chief of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And then after him, all the Anbiya alayhi salam. And after all the Anbiya alayhi salam, comes Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hun ajmain. And amongst the Sahaba comes Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala hu. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala hu. Then Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala hu. Then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala hu. Then the remaining of the Ashara Abu Bashara. Then the Ashab Badr. Then the people, the Sahaba who took the Bayt and Ridwan. And then the Sahaba who, according to one narration, they participated in Uhud. And then those according to their knowledge and piety. After Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, the Awliya Ikram, the saints of Allah, the pious and beloved saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that the highest and highest of saints cannot equal to in the status of the lowest of Sahabi. Because remember, the Sahabi, companion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one who was in the presence of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if a person has to hypothetically say, no, a saint is higher than the Sahaba, then indirectly you are undermining the status of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand this point very well. So this person, this Bedouin, he wanted to be in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why he was making his salat very quickly. So he wanted to be in the blessed, Mubarak company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why he wanted to read his salat quickly so that no opportunity is missed. He will be in the beloved, the blessed, Mubarak environment with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person said that I do not know how to pray a better salat. Please show me. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him to perform the wuzu, standing facing the Qibla and proclaiming Allahu Akbar, making the intention, folding the hands, reading the Quran from wherever he knows from it, and then saying Allahu Akbar, going into ruku, waiting till the bones of the back have been settled. That means to perform the salah with calmness. There is a definite pause between the postures, which we call Ta'dil Arkan, which I will talk about, because it is extremely important that we understand what is the Ta'dil Arkan, which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching the Bedouin. Then to say Allahu Akbar and prostrate. Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Bedouin that Sallu kama ra'aytumuni, that perform the salah like how you see me. Now this statement of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a group has come about and said that, see, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that perform the salah, sallu, how you have seen me, you must make the salat. And then they cause deviations amongst the public and innocent and common people by quoting this and saying that we supposed to be performing salat how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it in this particular hadith. Now we say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in many ahadiths, and the combination of these ahadiths will tell us how to perform a 2 rakat complete salat, 4 rakat, 3 rakat complete salah. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more on the surface of the earth. So this argument cannot be valid. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Remain there till you are seated, then arise and stand, recite Quran again, go into ruku, sijda, and after standing straight again, repeat the rakat again, this time with the knees under him, reciting attahiyyat and completing the prayer with salam. And if you perform it in this fashion, your prayer will be completely properly done. If not, then it will be defective and deficient." Now, remember that, alhamdulillah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that we should perform this salat with ta'deel-e arkan, meaning slowly, calmly, no rush. And not like how a fowl pecks, not like how a person is in a rush. Unfortunately, that if you have to sit in the masjid and observe how the ummah is performing the salah, it will make you very sad and it will depress you. That we stand and we stand leaning either this side or that side. Or we stand and we start looking around. Then you will find a person going into ruku as if to say he is doing Allah Jalla Majdahu a favor by coming to the masjid and performing the salah. Then he will perform the ruku like a lady. The man will do it between halfway standing, not even a proper bending, not even a proper ruku. And then he will fly up without standing properly and pausing. He will go down into sijda, and barely the head touches the floor, the man is up again, and not even sitting properly, diving back into sijda, then coming up again. And this salat, as per hadith, is thrown back at the person like a dirty rag, because who wants such a salat performance? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that this ta'deel-e arkan is wajib. If a person does not do it, then he must make sijda sahw. And how many a person you'll see in the masjid not making ta'deel-e arkan and also not making sijda sahw? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says that ta'deel-e arkan is faraz, obligatory. That means if you don't do it, your salat is not valid. So a person, he must, after ruku, Samiallahu liman hamida, Rabbana lakal hamd, hamdan kaseeran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Then he will go nicely to sijda. And after that, he will make the sijda and pause again. If he knows the dua, he read the dua. If he does not know the dua, but pause. This pausing between the two sijdas, this pausing after the standing up from the ruku, that's what we call ta'deel-e arkan. And unfortunately, that we go to the masjid, but salat performance is not how it's supposed to be done. And we should make every effort, at least learn how to make the salat, the postures, at least learn how to stand, to go to ruku, how the shariat wants us to go. Now also there is another group that comes about and says that no, there is no difference between the man's salat and the female salat. It is obvious, the man is separate and the woman are separate, the man is different, the woman are different, the man is biologically designed separately and the female biologically designed separately, and Shariat has catered for the man and the woman. Therefore, the salah has to be different. In another kitab, it is written that we should make the salah. And when the salat is done, it will help us on the day of judgment. It will be a protection. It will be a safety. And when we protect, when we are protected, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Inshallah, when we come back, we will discuss and try to start discussing the reasons for 7 faras, and the faras of the 17 rakat. Salat is extremely important and we should not miss it at any time, whether we understand why we do it or not.